Hello and welcome to the Mountainbrook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, November 7th. Happy Ministry Monday. I'm reading from the New International Version for the Old Testament and the New Testament passage. Well, I guess the Psalms is in the Old Testament, but we're reading the New Living Translation for the Psalms passage, just to give a new take on it. We are starting a new book today, the book of 1 Samuel. You know what I'm going to say, go over to the Bible Project website and take a look at their video if you have time. Did you know that the books of 1 and 2 Samuel were actually one unit, but they're split up into two units here in the Bible that we have now, just for practicality's sake? And in 1 Samuel, there are three main characters. There's Samuel, there's King Saul, and there's David. And the book of 1 Samuel is broken up into four parts. The first part deals mostly with Samuel. We'll get to know Hannah in this portion, Samuel's mom. And then in the second, there's King Saul, then David, and then there's sort of a recap of the nation of Israel. In the book of Samuel, we see some themes emerge. One is that God opposes the proud and exalts the humble. Hannah will talk about this in her song in chapter 2. We also see that despite human evil, God is at work. And aren't we glad for that? And then we also see that God is going to raise up a king. He raises up Saul and then David. But in the end, God is going to raise up a messianic king. And we know that to be our Lord Jesus. Starting with 1 Samuel chapter 1, the birth of Samuel. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I am a woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And now let's move over to Psalm 7. In my study Bible, this psalm is called, "My Shield is God Most High." The study Bible notes that David expresses his trust to the Lord to deliver him when he is faced with his enemies. The feeble David of Psalm 6 now boldly claims his innocence and his confidence in God should and will deliver him. In this way, the psalm provides a model for prayer in the midst of troubles. Remember, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "I come to you for protection, O Lord my God. Save me from my persecutors. Rescue me. If you don't, they will maul me like a lion, tearing me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, if I have done wrong or am guilty of injustice, if I have betrayed a friend or plundered my enemy without cause, then let my enemies capture me. Let them trample me to the ground and drag me and my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in anger. Stand up against the fury of my enemies. Wake up, my God, and bring justice. Gather the nations before you. Rule over them from on high. The Lord judges the nations. Declare me righteous, O God, for I am innocent, O Most High. End the evil of those who are wicked, and defend the righteous. For you look deep within the mind and heart, O righteous God. God is my shield, saving those whose hearts are true and right. God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. If a person does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He will prepare his deadly weapons and shoot his flaming arrows. The wicked conceive evil. They are pregnant with trouble and give birth to lies. They dig a deep pit to trap others, then fall into it themselves. The trouble they make for others backfires on them. The violence they plan falls on their own heads. I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." And now let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 7 today, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Melchizedek the priest. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi, who become priests, to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they are also descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects a tenth, paid a tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about Melchizedek, but today I want to talk about Ministry Monday and remind you that we're in our stewardship campaign right now. And as I said in worship last week, I want us to pray that the Lord would help us to live and give in a way that helps others flourish. I think the campaign title is Imagine If. And so as we pray, let us imagine what God will do when we are faithful. Will you pray with me? Father, you are the only truly faithful one. We see this clearly throughout Scripture, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You are always at work behind the scenes. Thank you for the reminder in the story of Hannah that you provided a child for her in her deep agony and grief. Thank you, Lord, for the reminders of the psalm that you are with us when evil pursues us. Help us, Lord, to find our refuge and strength in you. And thank you for the reminder from Hebrews that Jesus remains a priest forever. Help us, Lord, to live and give in a way that helps others flourish spiritually. We thank you, Lord, for the many gifts that you have given to us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters today, whatever they face, that you would be their strength and their refuge. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.